Welcome to the I Hate Critics 1994 podcast. I am professional film critic Sean Patrick. With me is Amy.
I am professional non-film critic Amy. Hello.
I don't know what to say. Who's our sponsor?
Oh, our sponsor is the Pontiac Fiero. It's the Honda Elantra of cars.
What the? So I've never heard them throw in another brand to promote their own. That's odd.
Well, they were looking for something that would kind of class them up.
The Pontiac Fiero. We don't need no roads.
Where we're going, we don't need no roads.
The future. That's right.
Remember the time that it didn't make it into the future? That it died. It's on the side of a country road somewhere. With your mom in it. With your mom in it.
Your mom.
Your hey, that's my mom. Oh shit.
We're just bullshitting because we don't want to feel feelings.
Oh, I fucking can't. I am gonna say so MJ's got this play coming up next weekend, and it's gonna be fabulous. And MJ is behind on homework, MJ is behind on everything right now. And just trying to get caught up. So that's why MJ did not join us tonight.
It's not because they hate everything about 1994.
No, because I guarantee you, with this cast, I mean, they would be able to point out exactly all of these people and where they've seen them. And the special speech for Gareth, if you don't recall, was reprised in IT Crowd before Douglas comes back. You know, busting into the church. Stop all the clocks. Yeah, it's for weddings and a funeral. That's what we watched. That's what we watched.
Father!
Oh, if Graham Linehan didn't suck so much, we could talk about God. That show for days.
Throw him on the cunt list.
He already is. He's been on there like three times. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Add him the fourth time. Just to be sure.
Done. Done and done.
What a piece of shit he is. But that's no reflection on the actor who is just Matt Berry, who's just
we love him, Matt
Berry. he's a beautiful man,
damn right.
That is one of the finest character introductions in history.
Oh, it's so true. God damn it. I mean, you know, again, been a fan of his for ages, but you know, you cannot beat Douglas Wrenham. That is like the moment. That is the moment, and I think for me, world history. That is the moment. So, but yeah,
his father's death is so iconic.
It's so. Oh God, why couldn't we have a better creator of that fucking show? God damn it!
I know. What a piece of shit.
Anyway.
Did you know that is Rowan Atkinson always been that tall? I didn't know he was that tall.
Oh yeah. Oh my. Okay. So I want to cover this before we jump into this movie, because so many people are just like, oh yeah, Mr. Bean, blah, blah, whatever. It's like, okay, here's the thing. He's fucking Blackadder, and Blackadder is one of the greatest fucking shows of all fucking time. And I love seeing him. And I love that he has such a great relationship with Richard Curtis, who wrote this movie. Yeah, he's always been very awkward, very tall, very Rowan. He's amazing. I fucking love him.
I don't know why. I always thought Mr. Bean was smaller.
Well, I think it's how he walked. Really. Yeah.
The slumped shoulders and
yeah. Yeah. I mean, Rowan is always he's talked about his own self and how he looks, and he's like, I know why people see me as a certain way. But I mean, he does have a certain look, but oh, God, fucking kids, if you're listening, all you children that are listening to this podcast that I always do every week, please go watch Blackadder. God, it's comedy gold. Comedy fucking gold.
I've never seen Blackadder. I don't know anything about it.
Well, do you remember when we were kids and we'd see like it pop up somewhere and be like, yeah, I don't want to watch that. It's British. Like, we didn't give a fuck about it. Like, we were weird. I went back in my 20s and then again in my 30s and again in my early 40s. And I'm like, God, this show is so, it's just. Ben Elton's just a genius. Great, great. Anyway, that has nothing to do with the, because we can't channel our emotions correctly.
I'm trying to avoid having emotions here, damn it.
We need to talk about Four Weddings and a Funeral, though. That's the whole point of this movie, or this podcast.
Four Weddings and a Funeral, 30 years old this weekend. Hard to believe it was 30 years ago.
Well, okay, here, I wanted to mention this because I took notes. And the beginning of the film, as it even kicks off, we see, we see bits and pieces, and then Hugh Grant waking up in bed, and I'm like, God, this looks so old. Like the way that we used to look at like 60s and 70s movies, it had that kind of grainy quality to it. And I was like, it looked so fresh to us back then. We are old people. We're old people watching 30-year-old movies, and it makes me sad. But anyway.
I was only 18 when this came out, so I'm not old. I'm sorry. I'm gonna push back. I'm not old.
I was 17.
You can be old if you want.
I'm a year younger than you, you asshole. I came last.
All I know is I'm not old.
Well, the funniest thing is you and I texting right as we both kind of started the movie at the same time, and like when we kick it off, we've got all these little kind of moments of the film. And then you've got Hugh Grant and you've got, Coleman. I can't remember her first name. God, I love her so much. Charlotte Coleman, who plays Scarlett. And you automatically mentioned that it's you and me. Cause it is, it's entirely, that's us, where we're late to things and we're just saying fuck constantly. She was one of the reasons I loved this movie so much, because I related to her. I looked like her, in high school, just, about a good 80 pounds heavier. But I had everything that she said, like she hung out with the little kids at the wedding. Like that was me. That was entirely me, and said all the wrong things. I loved it. I fucking loved it. And you've always been charmingly befuddled. So this it really was you.
I'm
that really stood out because we know that line now. I'm so charmingly befuddled. From Family Guy, we've already mentioned this, but yeah, I mean, that's, but it is. But my God, I'm going to say it again. I fucking love Hugh Grant. I fucking love him. Everything he does, he makes me so happy when I see him on screen. I just love it. Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily love everything that he's done, but he's gotten so good lately.
Oh God, yeah, 100%.
Like the career renaissance he's had in movies, and granted, they're movies that not a lot of people are going to see, which is unfortunate. But like, he's just being great in things like Dungeons and Dragons. His line deliveries in Dungeons and Dragons are so good.
Well, we were even talking about what was the show the serial that he did? Fuck! Now I can't remember. It was on a streaming service. It was so fucking good. I'm not gonna think of it. It was just like last couple of years, and he played it so brilliantly. And you're right, the career renaissance. At the same time, I think that he has had a pretty solid career.
Mm-hmm.
I just want him to stop doing Bridget Jones movies. And I love Bridget Jones. I fucking love those first two movies. They make me so happy. I that third one pissed me off so much, and I'm done.
I don't remember the third one at all. So,
oh, I saw it in the theater because I'm like, oh, I love this. And I'm like, no, I fucking hated it. Fucking hate it. Renee Zellweger, stop it. Stop it.
They're making another one.
Oh, I saw. I mourned, cried a little. But at least Patrick Dempsey's not in it, so I don't give a fuck. It's fine. Okay, first, I need to say this, too, because as an Anglophile, as a total fucking nerd for anything that comes my way, if this cast is fucking brilliant. It's so goddamn good. Simon Callow, John Hannah, I mean, James Fleet, who had one of my favorite lines in this movie that actually made me cry. And it's toward the end where he said, I never expected the Thunderbolt. And that hit me so hard.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I want to be that person. Why was I never that person? Cause I always expect the Thunderbolt. So yeah, I mean, this is just an amazing, Kristen Scott, Jesus Christ. Did she look any fucking hotter in this movie?
Yeah. That's the one like unbelievable part is that he didn't know it bad.
Agreed. I mean, she looks so slick in every fucking scene. She delivers. She's full of vitriol. She bubbles with hatred, and I love her. I love her. She is what Aubrey Plaza ended up doing on Parks and Rec. She hated everybody. She made fun of everybody, and she didn't give a fuck. Less cigarette.
Oh my God! So many cigarettes.
I loved that, but like, this is the kind of friend group that I always wanted.
Yeah,
was this group? This, they all supported each other. They all were. They laughed at everything. They loved when things were going to go bad. They loved it. And that to me that's friendship. That's a great friend group right there.
Yeah. I think the problem for Kristen Scott Thomas is that she's so withering that I don't think anybody could have read her face.
I saw her as the perfect ice queen. I loved that.
It's like, you don't want to meet your favorite comedian because you don't want to you'd be too intimidated. It's like talking to her would be too intimidating. She's just looking at you and you're like, I can't even look at you. You're fucking terrifying.
That's so true. That is so true. Oh my God. Yeah. And we talked about that with comedians in the past. It's like, thank God Bill Hicks is dead, because I would smother him. I would smother him. I would not let him go. I would probably keep him in my basement for a week. I just, that's what would have happened. I love that man. But, and with any people that we love, you know, that we admire. And I agree. Yeah, she's just one of those people. But, and it's true. When she told him that she loved him, yeah, that's, come on, dude. She's hot. She's a hot hottie.
Yeah.
You're not going to do that? Anyway, let's get to the point of the film. We're jumping all over.
What is the point of the movie?
Okay, so the point of the movie is this: it's meeting by chance. Mm-hmm. It's meeting and falling in love. It's meeting those. But see, okay, here's where we get into the rub of this, because Andie MacDowell, who plays Carrie in this movie, she is the whole just like apple of Hugh Grant's eye in this entire film.
Right.
And they keep meeting by chance at each one of these big events, these weddings. And they just keep getting together. They keep, you know, slapping each other's face. They're enjoying. And they have really great chemistry. Having said that, can I say something unpopular?
Please.
I hated every one of Andie MacDowell's line reads.
Every one of them?
I didn't buy it until, like, you know, when, even in the end, there's just so many moments where I'm just like, oh, that was so dry. Like, we would have, like it would have been great, like a Julia Roberts or somebody like that, that would have.
Well, we got that. That was Notting Hill.
I know, but that came later. Like, this would have been a really good Julia Roberts vehicle. Although probably would have overpowered it a bit. Like, it would have been almost too much. We needed somebody like Andie MacDowell. I just, like, I loved her in Groundhog Day. And then I'm seeing this and it's like, you're about as effectual as a bridge abutment. I'm not buying this. I'm not buying her reads. And okay, not every one of them, because, right, you know, some of them were cute, but.
But like, she delivers the line where they've just had sex for the first time and she's like, so when are we getting married? And it's like, she didn't seem to add anything to that line.
No, that's exactly like, and he's like, oh, you're joking. Like, it took us to follow his lead.
Yeah.
Because we were all like, she fucking serious? She looks like she's psycho right now.
What's going on? I mean, I knew she was joking, but I think there should have been something else on that line. A little bit better timing, maybe. I think she would have been served by revealing the joke sooner.
Do you know what I needed?
She should have revealed the joke as opposed to him finally getting it.
Right, but I need some face acting.
Mm-hmm.
I need some movement, and a lot of what she did in this movie, and I love, God, I do, I love her. I love how she, just everything that she's become, but I wasn't sold with the commitment within the face. Like, every time she delivered a line, I was just like, so you like him then? Cool. And not only that, like, there, when I, when I, when I, it makes me mad because I watched this 2 years ago and I loved it so much because this is, it's, I love this movie so much, but I found, and I even wrote this down too. It's like taking him, this is later on. Like, I mean, just listing off the men that she slept with for one.
Yeah, that was a weird scene.
I'm cool with it, you know? Hey.
No, that's the point, is that I'm also cool with it, and I'm glad that eventually he seems to be cool with it, but I don't like the joke.
Right, yes. And then, but before that, taking him, to go look at wedding dresses, you know he's into you, bitch.
That
you
was
know
weird.
He likes you.
Again, yeah, they don't, there's so much, we're going to criticize a movie that we like, but.
I know. Well, not like that, but we jumped so many scenes ahead. We're already at like the third wedding.
Right,
so, like,
right.
I mean, come on.
But slowing down a little bit though, like there, this is a very rushed movie and we don't get enough of the backstory and banter of each of these characters and show and demonstrating their bond a little bit better. Like I know right. They're all friends and it's very obvious that they're all friends the way they spend time together. They do banter well, but like there, he does a lot of, he doesn't write. They don't all get enough time. I don't think.
I agree. I mean, cause yeah, the charisma alone, again, you've got just a stable of awesome fucking British actors and Scottish actors, and it's so good. But yeah, I mean, I don't think it's necessarily that they're not fleshed out enough.
Mm-hmm.
We do, but you're right, we do need to see or we would like to see a bit more of like maybe what brought them all together.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Like, and that guy, they did shoot that scene, they deleted it. They cut that scene.
Did they really? Like, I didn't know that.
They did. They cut the scene that kind of underlined their backstories, because I guess Richard Curtis must have felt that he was getting enough of that in their banter, which, yeah, to a point, yes, right. You're not wrong about that. I could have done with more time with John Hannah and Simon Callow.
But, oh, you know. Absolutely. Oh, God, Jesus Christ.
But we'll get there. Yeah, I don't want to go there yet.
Yeah. Yeah, let's not do that, because I wrote a lot down for that. But anyway,
like,
go ahead.
I don't understand Andie MacDowell's character a lot. A lot of her motivations, like the bouncing between her and Hugh Grant early on, it doesn't have much depth. They're both very attractive people, and they're both very attracted to each other. He's definitely attracted to her.
Yeah.
She doesn't make any sense at all.
Well, here's what we got. And again, I think that a lot, and I have a few friends that I grew up with or that worked with me later on in life that wanted to be that kind of ethereal or maybe mercurial, that kind of woman. Mm-hmm. That is, she's such a mystery. She's so different. You know what I mean? And the guys just love her because she puts on a funny hat and people are just like, God, she's so quirky.
That hat was huge, by the way. That first hat she wears, massive. Who wears that to a wedding and sits in the crowd? No one behind you can see anything.
To be fair, this is the UK, okay? This is hat central. But it's the whole idea of and again, I think a lot of people wrote like this. A lot of men wrote like this. That strange and gorgeous woman that just shows up, and of course the guy falls in love with her. But he doesn't know dick about her life. Like doesn't know one single. Like what if Hugh Grant and Andie MacDowell get together later on, and they're like, God, you are so annoying. Like you're just. Why did she and her husband split up? Well, might be that she, you know, she farts a lot. We have no idea. But like, it could be anything. It could be anything. But I hated that, especially in the 90s, we wrote a lot of these women like that. It kind of goes back to that whole thing with Nathan Rabin, the whole Manic Pixie Dream Girl, where we write these women as they're so different. They just kind of show up in your life and oh my God, they float on a cloud and then they fucking poof, disappear.
Is like she a manic pixie dream girl? Like what is her is that her function in his life to make his life better? Cause she seems to only make him miserable.
Well, I think that I think the way that Richard Curtis wrote her was kind of the beginnings of that. Where like, and then people later on started to take that woman and make her even more of the dream girl, but she's weird and she likes the Shins, you know, like, you know, just throw in, you know, random. Again, I'm dating myself, but like an indie band here, that is so typical of again, I love Richard Curtis. Don't get me wrong. I love him to death, but that's where a lot of these male writers get it wrong. It's like, women are not that weird. You know, I mean, yeah, I mean, we are, but you know why we are? Because we want to be included. We want to be, you know, people, we want people to look at us like the way that they look at their weird dude friend. You know, I mean, we're not pick me's. We're also kind of funny and cool and, you know, sexy. Really sexy with a blunt bob. That's especially in the 90s, a blunt bob, maybe a little bit layered. But
are you fantasizing about Kristen Thomas?
I can't stop thinking about her. Like, she's I actually started to kind of draw, and I'm like, oh.
I mean, she was a lesbian once in college, so
I fucking love that line though. I was a lesbian once in school. You know.
That was the best exchange in the entire movie. I don't know who that woman was that she was sitting with, but that was the best exchange in the movie.
It was, and I just, her delivery too, it was just so matter of fact. It's like, well, here it is.
Are you a lesbian?
What would ever make you think that?
Well, it's just more interesting. And yeah, you're right.
No one wants to be dull. Yeah.
It is just more interesting.
But I think you come to find, actually, that's a good piece of Richard Curtis writing, because that's pretty much true, I think, for a lot of women. That one time at university, you know. I mean, oh God, yeah. But anyway, yeah. I take a bit of issue with just the way that women were written, especially when they're this kind of a character. That, of course, they're beautiful. Of course, they're interesting, but why is she interesting? Is it because she just floats out of his life and then floats back in? That's not interesting. That's just a flake. That's a flaky person.
Yeah, I don't understand that whole thing. Like, she disappears back to America and then is coming, and then just happens to show up again at another wedding, but this time she's engaged, and then she invites him to his wedding, to her wedding, right, after she slept with him again. Like, what is the game here? I mean, I don't understand her as a character. She seems in many ways like a function of what Richard Curtis just wanted to write.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. And I hate agreeing with that, but I think you're exactly right on that. But let's not forget, a lot of, again, like I just said, a lot of women were written like that back then. It's not a meaty part by any means.
This is structurally, this movie happens exactly as the title says. There are four weddings and a funeral. All of the action is confined there, aside from one scene where Hugh Grant is going with his brother somewhere, and then he skips out on meeting up with his brother to go and see Annie McDowell. And that's the only time where we're like not either on our way to or at a wedding.
Right. Can we talk about his brother for a second?
How about that adorable woman who sees his brother and then goes off and learns sign language just so she can flirt with him?
Yeah, but what would have happened if she would have come to that next wedding and then he was like, no, I'm dating somebody, sorry. Peace out. Like, again, it's so cute. It's adorable.
It's so adorable.
But at the same time, like, we all know life, you know, like, mm-hmm. he, what if she came back and he's in jail because he murdered someone? We don't know. But I will say that is the thing about Richard Curtis. He writes charmingly and he also knows how to infuse comedy.
And he's also befuddled.
And he's also befuddled, you know. Again, Richard Curtis, he did one of my favorite shows, and it's beloved across the pond. It's Vicar of Dibley. But I, you know, even going back and watching that, there's so many moments where you're like, ooh, it's kind of cringy how cute that is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And but at the same time, I mean, it's Dawn fucking French. Of course, I'm going to love it. Fuck that. I don't care. And you got, again, a great cast of characters, a great stable of actors. But sometimes you're just like, oh, this is so... And then the use of Elton John going to the chapel. I'm just like, Jesus Christ, Richard, I know he's your friend, but do I have to listen to Reg Dwight think again?
He's the entire soundtrack, isn't he?
I think, well, aside from Love Is All Around, which is that was a hit for Wet, the band Wet. That everybody's like, I'll buy that single, but I'm not going to be fucked to buy that album.
Yeah, can you, Amy? Can you tell the audience what the name of Wet's album was?
Wet. high moisturization. H2O. I remember them before Ocean. That.
No.
Wet. The album's called Water.
The album's called Desert.
Wait a second, you're called Wet. I feel a little lied to. Desert.
Wet. They took that name because that's how the ladies in the audience end up at their show. Is
no, I disagree. I don't know, like wet, but like that reminds me of like the Proclaimers. Like there is not a wet vagina in sight for any of these bands back then. They looked like they were a cousin that you met at one point, but they're like,
one of the characters marries their cousin at the end. So,
but you know what? I bet they made a go.
It's not,
they made a go of it.
It's indirect. It's an indirect line. It's okay. Look,
if there are people in America that if they could do it, they would. Okay.
If the Royals can do it, why can't this character in the movie do it?
Keep it in the family.
No.
I am not interested in the Habsburg Diaries at this point.
Oh, God.
I don't need to know.
Yeah.
Don't tell me that you're related. But at the same time, we have a South here, so we know what happens. How dumb are you, Uncle Dad? Go ahead.
Some of those trees down south don't branch.
I'm sorry. Oh, I'm antibiotics and Bud Light seltzer. What do you want from me? I don't know. Bud Light seltzer is the sponsor of the Pontiac Fiero tonight, by the way.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's horrible.
For all your drinking and driving needs, Bud Light seltzer and the Pontiac Fiero.
Get that blonde girl the drink she wants, not the drink she needs.
You want to drive home at 10 miles per hour. Bud Light Seltzer and your Pontiac Fiero.
Oh, did I crack the block again? Somebody didn't change the oil. God damn it.
You can't crack the block in a Fiero. You just rub it on the floor, it'll go again.
It's a sponge. It's not even a block, it's just a sponge.
This movie is very funny. It's a very funny movie. It's got a lot of big laughs in it because these characters are just naturally funny.
Yes, played by naturally funny actors, by the way, too.
Yeah, I guess we have to get to it. So Simon Callow is probably the most charismatic and like big personality in the entire movie. He's just kind of dominant throughout, and they go to Andy McDowell's wedding. She's still getting married, even though Hugh Grant has said that he loves her.
By the way,
the guy.
Bitch minute, when she actually says in her fucking speech, somebody once told me that, you know, he'd be waiting for me if this didn't work out. Fuck you, cunt. He's in the room. Is that guy in the room? He's in the room. Why would you say that? That's not funny.
No.
But I have to say, though, too, right in the church when she says I do, to watch Hugh Grant's face just go, like he just melted the minute she said that because he knew his business.
It's astonishing that he can hold on to the idea of true love after that, after she's kind of done that to him.
Well, you basically broke me, but that's fine. I'm going to go to your reception. We're cool.
Thanks for inviting me.
This has been the best night of my life. I'm not going to lie to you. top 10, one of the best weddings I've ever been to. You know,
he had no luck at any of the weddings. He just got, I mean, aside from, well, he did get lucky the first night because he got to have sex with her, but.
That's true. But that second one where he's at that fucking table with all of his ex-girlfriends, what the fuck, dude?
Oh,
like,
wow.
That had to be, that was a joke. Like, that wasn't even a, just like a universal joke from the ether. That was, whoever made that table arrangement said, fuck this guy. Let's put him with every person he's ever fucking dated.
Well, it's his friend, though, that did that.
Which is beautiful.
Phil Collins, his buddy. Bernard.
Phil Collins.
Well, you didn't look at Bernard and go, Phil Collins.
I did a bit. Well, I mean, sans the mustache, but I did a bit.
If Phil Collins had a mustache, he would be Bernard.
What, I actually wrote down, hang on, dear God, that sex scene between him and Thompson. Oh God, it's Anna Thompson's sister, and I love her. Sophie. I love her so much. Again, she's another person that was in my favorite version of Persuasion from the BBC. She was fabulous.
Tremendous meet cute between the two of them. Were not meet cute. They'd already met. They'd already know each other. And he goes, well, what about me? And she's just like, oh, no, not you.
Desperate.
Not that desperate. And then you see them making out later, and then we go to their wedding. And I thought, that's a great progression. That's a three-piece progression that any screenwriter could be proud of.
Absolutely. You know what I liked about that moment where she's like, oh, Bernard, I'm not that desperate. And then the look on his face goes, oh, yeah, right. That is like the most British response.
He's so good natured about it. Good for him, you know.
God bless you, Bernard. I want to give you a hug for that. And then he gets the payoff. You know, he gets a toss in. He gets to do that.
She starts making out with him, and she's like, you're really good at this.
God, the close-ups on their kisses, too. It's like Sophie went for it, too. She's like, she's all over that shit. But like I said, I wrote it down. I'm like, dear God, the sex scene. Because she's in her wedding dress.
Yeah.
And she's riding him. But at the same time, it's like she's not even riding him. Like, she's just, like, kind of bouncing on him. And then he's like, flailing his head on the bed, and I'm like, that's not sex. That's church sex.
That's passion. They are so passionate for each other that they cannot wait to get each other. They're not even gonna wait to get clothes off. They're just gonna go.
I was just really upset because they just kept like pausing, and I'm like, no, that's not how that works. You gotta move, bitch. You gotta move. And it felt like again. Bill Hicks talking about British sex with like the blue dot on every. oh,
ladies, is it good for you? If your wedding doesn't end with, if your wedding day doesn't isn't followed by you having to get cum out of a wedding dress, that's just, you haven't done it right.
No one will even know. It blends right in. Make sure you get the off white dress, Milo.
Oh, not the meringue.
Why are we gross? Let's not do
that.
Anyway, so, you know, okay, let's go. We have to go back to the funeral because it's the elephant in the room. It's the elephant in the room.
Yeah, like, so, you know, kind of, I guess you do know that they're a gay couple, Gareth and John Hannah, Simon Callow and John Hannah. It's just implied visually. They don't ever say it. They just imply it visually by putting them together in the same scenes. And
you believe it with John Hannah, the way he looks at him, the way he thinks about it. You believe it.
Yeah.
You know.
You do know. It is a subtle, it is a very 90s way to have a gay couple in a movie, I guess.
Well said. Yes. Let's 90s this up with the gay couple.
We want to make sure the straights will still come to this movie, so we'll just imply the gay.
It's gay invert.
Then we'll pull the wool out from under them when they're crying over his death.
Oh my God. That is quintessential 90s. This is like post-AIDS crisis, like post-AIDS, gay couples exist, but again, the fact that it's included, I mean, for 1994, you know, props. I that's fine. The way that they went throughout the film, but it was that funeral, because the way that John Hannah delivers that, fuck God, nope.
Yeah, you can't help but cry. He's just the way he delivers that speech, and is he referring to song lyrics?
Yes, yes. And fuck me for trying to remember now. I didn't make a note. Yeah. Oh shit! Hang on.
Pull yourself together, Jesus! What the hell is wrong with you?
No, you know what? It wasn't a song. It wasn't a song. It was a poem by W.H. Auden. It was a poem, and it goes on, and it's sickening. And then somebody used it in a song.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless, it was the way that he said it. It was how he said, John Hannah, my God, you beautiful fucking man. If somebody ever said that at my fucking funeral, I would come back to life and just knee you in the groin. How do you do that? It was so, so good.
Well, everybody knows that you're at your funeral, you're getting Spice Girls lyrics. That's the all Spice Girls lyrics wall to wall. So you don't have to worry about it.
Well, okay, but don't use mama, because that's about mothers. And you know I'm not one. I would say Spice Up Your Life is a good one. I actually have plates and pens from the Spice Girls that Stephanie gave me, our niece, gave me. And so you can use those at the luncheon. So, yeah, Spice Up Your Life, maybe, or... No, that's a ballad. That's not that's a love ballad. I would say use anything by Jerry Halliwell in her solo career.
Only her solo stuff.
Just her solo stuff. That's fine. But also
Spice
of Your Life.
What about Baby Spice's solo stuff?
I love her. God. Oh, Emma. Oh, sweet Emma.
I'm fine. The one thing that's going to happen at your wedding is that I'm getting your phone. I'm going to text everybody at the funeral. Hey, let me the fuck out of here.
Mm. Holy shit. I just took a drag and I'm, I was going to say send some tasteful nudes, but don't do that because that's not your phone. Shit. Holy shit. You know what? Oddly enough, I do have a funeral song.
Oh.
Yeah. Do you want to know what it is?
What is it?
It is by the artist. I don't know if you've heard of Casey
Wet,
Musgrave.
Wet. Got it.
Oh my God. Love is all around. It's done. No, now I can't think of it. Hang on. Oh, it's called Oh What a World by Casey Musgraves. And it's gorgeous. It's just a gorgeous, beautiful song. And when people hear it, I want them to cry and go, why isn't she still here? Why didn't I spend more time with her? And then they'd remember that I said no every time they asked me to go out. And then that would be appropriate. And then you play Spice Up Your Life.
I'm going to hire a man to go to your funeral. And he's just going to be, he's going to wander down the aisle up to your coffin and just kneel down and just ball his eyes out and everybody go, fuck is that guy?
Oh, Robert Sheehan, we have a role for you. It doesn't pay well, but it will go well on your CV. I'm telling you right now, that's what I want. That's all I want. I don't even want anything else. Don't do anything. Don't spend any money. Just get Robert Sheehan to come cry at my casket. And then fuck off. That's all I want.
Just one black rose and just weeping. Just weeping.
I want with a bottle of Old English OE. I want him to like tip it for his homie.
Floppy
and then
drunk.
Yes. Which is perfect because he's doing With Nail and I in the theater right now. And he can totally nail it. He can nail it. Just have him be drunkenly and just yell at me. Just yell at me in the coffin and go, you cunt. I fucking loved you. pour the OE on me and then fuck off. That's my funeral. That's it. Best funeral ever.
That would be amazing.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Between that and Paul Rudd showing up and going, I didn't even know this cunt. Who is this? I would be happy. I'd be fine.
Then he stands up and does an interpretive dance to a Stevie Nicks song.
Wait, Robert or Paul?
It doesn't matter.
Oh, okay. Either one. I'm fine with that. I did. One of them can do just like strictly liturgical dance, something Catholic and weird. And folks,
we're just trying to keep from crying here, because like Simon Callow has died.
I can't, Sean.
Massive character who's just like the scenes that he's in. He's just like so funny and so big and just like the kind of friend you want to have. And then he dies at Andy McDowell's wedding, and you're just like fucking broken by John Hannah.
Yeah. John Hannah, have him talk at your funeral. If you want to cry, just invite him. Just say, here, recite funeral blues for me and then go home. That's all I need from you.
And then, of course, you get the scene that follows that with Hugh Grant and Tom talking about how, you know, they've had these friends who've secretly been married, the traitors.
Yeah. That's James Fleet. James Fleet is, again, one of those just perfect actors.
Right off the bat, Hugh Grant walks into the wedding that they're going to that day, and unfortunate haircut, Tom.
Oh, God. And Tom just looks at me like, yeah, right. This thumbs up, you know, right before that, he steps in a cow pat and then he backs into the hay.
I was kind of like worried that like at some point they're going to reveal that they aren't really friends. Like, you know, it's almost like an antagonism almost. Like he doesn't even know what the plans are after the wedding, and like Hugh Grant doesn't, and he's like getting invited to Tom, like he didn't know that his friend was going to throw a party afterwards. Like, so are they not friends? And I was worried during that scene, like after Simon Callow's death, where they're having that conversation, like Hugh Grant's going to say something mean to him, and I'm like, don't say anything. He's a little puppy guy, like
he's that little kitten in your lap. You just like
don't
love him.
Don't insult him. I don't think that guy can take it.
No.
But he doesn't.
Exactly.
He doesn't. He doesn't insult him. He offers like a little bit of admiration to him that he can still, you know, remain confident that one day he'll get married. And given, you know, Tom doesn't know that, you know, Charlie's talking about himself, that he doesn't think he's going to get married. Mm-hmm. And I was worried, like, Tom's going to think, like, what? Why don't you think I'll ever get married?
Yeah.
But he's totally oblivious to it.
Richard Curtis took him and then put him in Vicar of Dibley after that. And he plays very much the same character, just a lot stupider. But oh my God, James Fleet, he plays it with such aplomb, and you want to hug him.
He gets another great line later on when he's trying to stall Charlie's wedding. And he says, it helps you when people think you're stupid. They just assume.
Oh God!
Perfect line reading.
Oh, I'm telling, like this, and I think that's something that Richard Curtis is really good at doing, is giving us these very smart characters, these very awkward but smart characters, but also giving us that one guy this friend group is definitely going to be. Pretty much like coddling him his entire life. Like they're going to love every little thing about him, and oh, aren't you so cute? And it's a bit condescending, but he needs it. He needs a little bit of condescension.
He's like super rich too. Like he has everything. Like at a certain point, are they just,
I mean, I don't think they're friends with him just because he's rich. They're friends with him because of Fiona. I mean, honestly, they're friends because of his sister.
I didn't even realize they were related, honestly.
Well, she even said they actually made a comment about that where she's just like, if he wasn't my brother, I'd kill him. You know, like, you know, just. I can't even imagine. I cannot even imagine that, because I'm very lucky in that I have very smart brothers. But if I had a brother like him, I think the type of person I am, I feel more like him. I related more to him.
I think
than probably any of them.
Well, I think because the rest of like Hugh Grant and Annie McDowell are impossibly beautiful Hollywood stars. I think the entirety of the audience actually is identifying with Tom far more than they do anybody else in the movie.
Yeah. Well, even Charlotte, and I think Charlotte is absolutely fucking gorgeous. Charlotte who plays Scarlett. I think she's just stunning, and she's walking out in the fucking wedding, and she's putting that curly fall, and it keeps falling off the back of her head, and then she doesn't zip up in the back. Like, you can tell they're all hungover, and she doesn't give a fuck. She just gets down the aisle and does her shit.
It's the only issue I have with that is that Richard Curtis wrote that exact same character into Notting Hill.
Well, and it happened on Vicar Dibley a little bit too. So, and actually, Emma, who is in Notting Hill, did Vicar Dibley before that. I keep referencing that show, but it's important. It's a very important. It's a staple of UK sitcom. It just is. And that is kind of his writing style. That's how he's always written. And
I get it, but like he wrote the exact same character 4 years apart.
Yeah. But I didn't hate it because I love Notting Hill. I do. I really do. But it's I don't want to say it's schlock. I know who it appeals to. Mm-hmm. But there's also I think it's just the cleverness of the writing. It's how they react. It's how mm-hmm. he gets these actors together and how they react to one another. It just works.
Yeah.
It's smart. I think it just works.
Yeah, I mean, Love Actually is a good example of that.
God.
You know why the timing might be off is that I think it was Richard Newell who directed this and not
Mike Newell, yeah. Mike Newell
who directed this and then he only wrote it, Richard Curtis. I think if he had directed it, it might be snappier.
I think you're right. I agree. That is true because everything that Curtis did when he actually was at the helm.
Well, you see it in Notting Hill and Love Actually, which
is, absolutely it's a Love lot Actually snappier.
Also has that character as well,
which is why I love Richard Curtis because he wrote that about me. I am the main character, and that is dumb weird girl.
We always do this on the show as we run through the various different permutations of the casting. So the first person who actually was cast in this movie was Gene Triplehorn.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Jean Triplehorn had the Andy McDowell role. She dropped out when one of her parents died.
Oh, geez. I love her.
Okay. Then they approached Marissa Tomei.
That is so weird because I just saw a picture of her and I thought of her for this movie.
Really?
Yes.
I don't see her in Hugh Grant. I just don't. What? I don't.
Because let's look at it. We had the sadness of Untamed Heart. It was none of our business, that movie. And so we had a girl, right. Oh, I can't get out my notes.
I got a baboon heart. My parents told me that I got a baboon heart.
Hey, what's your dog's name? I don't know. He didn't tell me.
It's embarrassingly quirky.
No one else can actually quote that movie but us at this point. I really think that.
Nobody knows what the hell we're talking about.
Unless you listen to our podcast.
Unless you listen to the Untamed Heart episode, then you know about Creepy Stalker, the love story.
I'm just going to leave you out here. I know it's below zero, but you're just going to sleep on this swing until you wake up in the morning after you've almost been brutally attacked and raped. There you go. Untamed Heart.
Untamed Heart.
Oh, I'm laughing, but it's not funny. Anyway, yeah. So
Hugh Grant did get the role, but not until after Alan Rickman had to step aside.
No, are you serious?
Alan Rickman was initially going to be cast in this film as Charlie.
I have an attraction to Alan Rickman the way that I do for Gary Oldman. I do. The man could do it. He could say anything to me and I'd be like, I'd fuck that.
Weirdly, I could see a version of this movie that is Marissa Tomei and Alan Rickman. That would work for me.
I can actually, I can see that myself. You're
I can't right. see Hugh Grant and Marissa Tomei. I can't, it doesn't, she, her energy and his energy, they just, they clash to me.
Well, like I was, but what I was saying about Marissa Tomei is that I think we've heard her, New York a bit much, Boston a bit much. You know what I mean? Like at least with Andy, like there was a little bit of weird kind of affectation.
Yeah,
she's
Marissa Tomei would have popped in this role. Don't get me wrong. I just don't think her and Hugh Grant would work together. At the same time, she'd have more personality than what Andy McDowell has, which is, you know, kind of none.
Right, right. Marissa can act with her face.
Is that intentional on Richard Curtis's part to not have her have any personality, to not like to be so that you can like maybe project a fantasy upon her? I don't know.
I don't think so, because I think at the time, I think she was just an actress to get at that point. Because again, we have, you know, Groundhog Day before that. We, you know, I mean, I think at this point it was like, oh, let's get Andy McDowell. That works. No, it doesn't.
I'll say this. I hate Groundhog's Day and I don't like her in that movie.
I can't believe you said that to me and I don't want to talk to you anymore.
I'm not a fan of Groundhog Day. There it is.
How are you not a fan of that? That movie's fucking brilliant. What is wrong with you?
It's so not. That whole Bill Murray, Andy McDowell romance is so awkward and unfunny.
Okay, here's the thing. I had a crush on Bill Murray, especially in the early 90s. I was obsessed with him.
That fake laugh he does when they fall into the snow and are staring into each other's eyes, it is so bad.
You're letting yourself just Scrooge it up. You're not allowing yourself to suspend disbelief.
It would take a suspension of disbelief for an intelligent woman to want him.
Hello, you're talking to one, you asshole. I wanted to marry him in the 90s. Like there was, what about Bob? Quick Change. Oh my God, I wanted to marry that man. Quick Change, especially. Oh my God. I don't know what it was about him, but I loved him. I loved him from Ghostbusters.
If you want to continue loving Quick Change, do not watch his interview with Arsenio with Gina Davis. It's so bad.
Oh, I don't think I'm gonna do that.
It's so bad, dude. Oh, it just ruins Bill Murray for you. It really does.
Why did you how did you even get on that?
I don't know. It's so bad though. I saw the other day, like somebody put it in a Watch Mojo video or something. oh, that's not good.
Stop kissing her shoulder. Watching Mojo.
Stop wanting to kiss her shoulder. Stop.
Oh no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, Bill's been kind of ruined for me over the past couple of years.
The only good thing he's ever done is punch Chevy. That's it.
Okay, no, lies.
I'm kidding. He did Ghostbusters, and I love Ghostbusters, but
oh my God. Lost in Translation, you dumb fucking idiot.
Fine movie.
Thank you. What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? Can I just have something?
My rose colored Bill Murray glasses are kinda off.
I mean, I understand, but I'm probably never going to be that way. Because I've always been attracted to people that are my dad's age, which is so creepy.
It's so weird.
I can't afford therapy because I live in America, and it's hard. It's fucking hard.
That's why we're taking up a Patreon collection to send Amy to Switzerland.
We just want to get Amy to therapy. Amy, just send it to us, please.
It's a better health subscription. It's not that much.
You know, I can talk to my friends, but they're really tired of hearing it. So, I mean, everybody else likes their dads. Honestly, in a way that, you know, isn't creepy.
Amy, your cat is not an MD. They don't have...
I've gotten better prescriptions from Andy than I've gotten from anyone. Thank you. Catnip does work.
Smoking.
But yeah, this fucking movie. I love this movie. Overall, how do you feel?
I mean, this is the best movie we've watched on the show, probably. other than Dave.
Okay.
Dave.
And especially for 94, this is the best movie of 94.
And that again, we've seen. You know, we didn't, obviously we're not going to watch Citizen, you know, we're not going to watch Schindler's List on this show. We're not going to.
No,
you
know. because I'll say something stupid and, but it's not because I don't love.
We just cry the whole time.
We're overly emotional and then we make really bad jokes because we don't know how to deal with our emotions.
Exactly. Period. We're that's Gen X. We're Gen X people.
We apologize. And well, sorry.
We're not.
But you're of that faction, are you? I feel like I've had to apologize for my very existence. So, no, this movie, yeah, so far, this movie has made me very happy. Finally, in 1994, something was done right. I just looked in my bedroom real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And I see Remains of the Day. And all of a sudden, I look over and I'm like, oh, fuck, he fell over again. And it's just like we're never going to get past these things. So we need movies like this. This is a palate cleanser. This is something that we can dive into next week and say, yes, no matter how bad that is, at least we had food in the funeral.
Considering that next week is a movie called Brain Scan.
Fuck off. Why? Why? You're just choosing these to piss me off at this point.
There are no other options. What do you want to do here?
Brain Scan. Hang on. Let me at least look it up.
Edward Furlong, Frank Langella.
I already hate it looking at it. I see a character actor that I hate. His face bothers me.
Yeah.
Why are we doing this one?
No, no, it's the one that's available. So
wait, you know. I'm sorry. There had to be other choices.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Do I need to bring it up? Look up April, whatever it was.
April 22nd. There are no other April 22nd movies. I don't know what you're talking about. Shut up.
There's Mighty Ducks. I'm not gonna sit the fucking Mighty Ducks.
We're a week away from with Honors. So I'm sorry.
With the Madonna song. No.
And we're not watching PCU. Fuck Jeremy Piven all the way up.
I know, but there's man, we did love that movie.
PCU is not going to hold up, dude. You know that.
That would be a cringe fest. Like it would be
so hard to watch PCU.
Oh no. There's really nothing else aside from Brain Scan.
I mean, yeah.
No, Cops and Robbersons. No. Oh, what about the Hudsucker Proxy? Oh, that was March 11th. God damn it. I would do that one in a second.
We'd have to circle back for that.
We would.
Major League 2 or.
High Lonesome, the Story of Bluegrass.
I'm sorry, what?
High Lonesome, the Story of Bluegrass music.
I don't know. You're saying words, but.
Yeah, well, so bluegrass music is a music that is awesome. It's a music that is awesome. What about the Favor? We could do The Favor.
I don't even know what that is.
Never mind.
What's wrong with Brain Scan?
Well, because The Favor has Brad Pitt.
Yeah, but Brain Scan has a brain scan.
And Edward Furlong, not Furlong.
And Frank Langella.
Yeah, I know you keep pushing Frank Langella. He was not my dad's age. I'm not interested in that.
He was, actually.
Oh, ew. What about Martin Lawrence, You So Crazy?
That's a stand-up special, isn't it?
It was also, it was in the theaters.
See you next week for Brain Scan. Bye, everybody.
Bye, love you.
You're a terrible person.
I don't even care. Are we done?